Alec, I don't think that's the right PowerPoint. I don't even remember if I did one for tonight, honestly. But that's the one from the last members' meeting. And I don't have my notes for that, so we're not going to go over that again. So we're going to be considering the one another commands from Scripture. And I kind of really mixed it up and gave you a different handout that's full page to really throw you off. And there's a lot of Bible references there. Because what I really would like is that for you to, later this week, go home, read through some of those passages and just think through them and allow the Spirit to work in your heart. And so, of course, we've talked about spiritual gifts some this morning. And so this evening we're talking about exercising those spiritual gifts. How do we put them into practice as we look through the New Testament and we consider the one another commands? We discover that the bulk of them are included in the epistles. And so what I did is kind of did a search for all the one another commands and kind of read through them all, thinking through them and seeing how do you categorize them if you can and all those things. And it was a fun, challenging time to try to work through that. As we think in the Gospels, Jesus talked about how we are to treat others, but the expression of one another is rare in the Gospels from Jesus' teaching. In Mark 9:50, Jesus said, "Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." And so that's one area that Jesus does use that one another command. The only other times that the phrase one another appears in the Gospels really as an instruction for us to follow are several times in the Gospel of John. And so I found that rather interesting. All five of those times, it's basically the same exact thing. Love one another. That's what in John's Gospel, how he puts it. And so kind of want to start the first point there, the principle to love one another. The principle to love one another. And of course, we know we do this weekly. We are not very good at this. We struggle with this constantly, but it's good to be reminded of these truths. And so you can feel free to turn as I read these. I have them in my notes because I'm going to go through them fairly quickly because there's a lot of verses here, and I understand that. But I really want us to concentrate more on God's Word than what I have to say at all tonight. So John 13:34 and 35, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you're also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Again in John 15:12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And then John 15:17, "These things I commanded you, so that you will love one another." It seems that Jesus' teaching was to love one another. And then from my study and from what I'm thinking is then in the epistles, the Holy Spirit inspired the writers to write down how it is we can love one another. What does that look like? And so then we have the other one another commands. How it is we can exercise our spiritual gifts. The authors that wrote and included the one another commands are Paul, the writer of Hebrews then, possibly Paul, we don't know, James, Peter, and John. It's interesting that the Apostle John, after recording Jesus' teaching on loving one another, writes about one another's, those one another commands, seven times in his short letters. I found that very interesting. The only gospel writer that includes it, and then seven times just in his little letters. It seems that it really was a theme that was dear to his heart. And so here are some of the passages that talk about loving one another. The first one, Romans 12, verse 10, "Love one another with brotherly affection." This would be an appropriate type of affection for the situation. Our love is not cold or robotic, but it's to come from a heart that is loved by God and desires to love others as a result. And then 1 Thessalonians 3:12, it says, and then may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you. And so Paul, writing there, understands there's always room for improvement. We can always increase in this. As in all our areas of Christian walk, we're to be growing, and loving one another is no exception. And then 1 Thessalonians 4:9, now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. The indwelling Holy Spirit obviously teaches us this, but has to constantly remind us. Of course, we have examples of the love of Jesus and his sacrificial love that really give us a great place to start. 1 Peter 1:22, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for sincere brotherly love, love of one another earnestly from a pure heart. So our love for others isn't to be something that's for our benefit or seeking something that is for us. 1 Peter 4:8, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. And so as we continue to love one another, we'll be able to move past their sins against us specifically, and love them because Christ loves them. 1 John 3:11, for this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And so this basic command all throughout Scripture, really the second half of the Ten Commandments really get to this. It's really, how can we love one another? 1 John 3:23, and this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. As we're followers of Christ, we'll be compelled to love others. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. 1 John 4:11, again, these ones in John's epistles, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. 1 John 4:12, no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. So our love for one another is only possible because of what God has done in our hearts. And then the last one there, 2 John 1:5, and now I ask you, dear lady, not even as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And so lots with that original principle there of loving one another. And then we look and we see the problems with loving one another. And so the Bible isn't silent on some of these areas where we struggle. Any command of Scripture can become challenging to implement because of our own sinful hearts. Several of the one another commands are really presented in a negative light as those things we should not be doing to one another. And so the first one here, Romans 14:13, Paul writes this. He says, therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. So our tendency here of judging others is so strong, but by God's grace, we can avoid that mentality and not hinder them. Galatians 5:15, but if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another. When we refuse to really love one another and instead attack one another, it brings harm on ourselves and all those involved. And then Galatians 5:26, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. That envying kind of goes with, as we've been talking in 1 Corinthians and the spiritual gifts, they were envying one another. And so Paul here has this in Galatians. You know, we're selfish to the core. We all want what we want. But loving each other and putting the needs of others first fights against those selfish desires. Colossians 3:9, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. As believers, we're different than when we were before Christ worked in our heart and brought us to salvation. We're a new creation because of Christ. Dishonesty should not be part of our thinking. James 4:11, do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. So we need to determine that we will stay positive toward one another. And then James 5:9, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. It's always good to keep in mind that God hears every word that we say, everything that we are thinking. And so then the last one here, the promotion of loving one another. So how is it we can love one another? And so we've seen that command, and then we've seen the negative side. And now here's a lot of different ways, and I'm not hitting on all the one another commands, so you can be thankful for that, but hitting on a lot of them and just seeing what God's word has to say. And so Romans 12:10, we looked at the first part earlier, but here's the second part. Outdo one another in showing honor. You know, our tendency is to want to be honored for our accomplishments. But Paul says we should outdo each other in showing honor to one another. And, you know, sometimes when it comes to that idea of honor, as a church, we say, well, we don't want to honor anybody because we only honor God. Well, there's a place where we honor people for how God has worked in their heart and life and how God has used them. And Paul even here says we should outdo one another in showing honor. Romans 12:16, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. We never want to be wise in our own sight. Romans 15:5, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus. Sometimes when we hear the word harmony, what do we think of? Music, don't we? Well, if there is harmony, then things sound good. When we are living in harmony with one another, it sounds good to those who are listening. And then Romans 15:7, therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. And I include with that idea of welcoming there 1 Corinthians 16:20, greet one another with a holy kiss. Of course, I mentioned this recently, that that verse or that command is mentioned four times in the New Testament. So I'm not giving you all the references on that, but that idea of our interactions with each other marked by a warmth in which we're eager to be with each other, a desire to spend time together. Romans 15:14. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. So we have an opportunity to instruct each other with our words, and we should not squander that opportunity. And then 1 Corinthians 12:25, a verse that, Lord willing, we'll get to next Sunday morning, says that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. You know, one person is not less important or less valuable than another. So we need to care for each. Galatians 5:13, for you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. This idea has been brought up many times in our study in 1 Corinthians. We're to be others-minded, caring for one another, serving one another, seeing what we can do to help them. Ephesians 4:2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. And so that's kind of coming alongside of, bearing with them as they're going through a hard time and helping them through. Colossians 3:13, similar, bearing with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And so that reminder of forgiveness, the example that we see in Jesus Christ. We're to work through those differences as we bear with one another. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Forgiveness of those who have wronged us is only possible as we stop, as we meditate, we think about the forgiveness that we have in Christ. And then Ephesians 5:19 says, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. A similar one, Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. You know, God has gifted us with many wonderful songs that proclaim the truth of his word. And we can share those songs with others to encourage their hearts. You can see it on YouTube, and you can copy that link and send it off to somebody else, and it can encourage their heart. You can give encouragement that way. I hope for you it was encouraging, even as Pastor Mark sent out the link to a song we were going to sing this morning. Our family listened to it several times, and it encouraged our hearts. And so we can do that kind of thing regularly, to just offer encouragement through songs. Ephesians 5:21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And so we submit to each other, not because it necessarily benefits us, but because we understand that we are all made in God's image. And a fellow believer is redeemed by Christ, and we should seek their good in all things. There are also many verses that point us to encourage one another, exhort one another, admonish one another. Those are all similar ideas, but just little nuanced differences. But some of those verses are 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. And so Paul's there saying, as you're already doing, keep doing this. This is good. Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And so understanding that our exhorting, our building one another up is helping them to avoid that deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. I think that word stir up in some translations is agitate. It's kind of the idea of the agitator in the washer, and it's doing something to get their attention. So let us consider how we can stir up one another to love and good works. Obviously, it's going against that idea of complacency. Hebrews 10:25, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And so as we see what's happening around us, understanding that time is short, we encourage one another. Encourage one another to meet, to gather, to be with God's people. Our goal is always to build up in the faith. And a few more here. James 5:16, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. You know, we all have sinful tendencies, and one of the best ways to see victory is when we confess those sins and have others praying for us. And then 1 Peter 4:9, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Have you ever been looking at the opportunity of showing hospitality and you're not very happy about it? You're like, oh, I think I'm expected to do this or something. No, here Peter says, you should do this and do it without grumbling. Be thankful for the opportunity. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So we have the opportunity here to invite others into our homes and lives. And we should eagerly be doing this as we show hospitality, as we fellowship with one another. So I'm going to end with one final verse that was mentioned this morning, 1 Peter 4:10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. It's God's grace that has gifted us to love and serve one another. These verses seem to encapsulate well what that looks like. It's not about the specific giftedness. It's not about what we have as a gift, but rather the willingness to love others for God's glory. Are we willing to do that? As we go through this next week, are we willing to love one another? Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for the commands of your word. Lord, we thank you for the one another statements that we see all throughout the New Testament. Lord, we ask that you would help us to implement them. That you would help us to put them into practice so that we can build one another up, that we can love one another, we can encourage one another, and ultimately that we can bring you glory. And so, Lord, we ask that you would use these words in our heart and life, even throughout this next week. May we take some extra time to meditate on the truths of your word and think about them and how to implement them. Lord, we thank you for what you'll do. In Christ's name, amen. So we'll take just a brief break, and then we'll get into our members' meeting.